live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a Donegal mother has spoken out after her son was the victim of a hit and run on Sunday last. A reward for information has been offered after two masked men broke into the coach house in Donegal town during the early hours of this morning. A 27-year-old faces trial of five sex-linked offences, including the exploitation of a child. And Strabane Bays Fab Plus is planning to more than double its workforce and turnover as part of a £7 million investment. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news just in, the government has announced over €130,000 in funding to the Red Cross in Donegal to replace ambulances lost during flash flooding that hit the peninsula in August. The Red Cross headquarters in Moff was badly damaged with the loss of equipment and vehicles. Government Chief Whip Minister Joe McHugh has welcomed this evening's €137,000 funding announcement and is hopeful further funding allocations will be made to help in restoring other amenities that were destroyed during the floods.
The centre in Muff, and I remember the night after the flood, I met with the staff, the team down there, and they revealed the extent of the damage. There was damage done to their ambulances and to their equipment. And against that backdrop, I obviously knew that they wanted to get back up and going again, and they were also looking to help families in distress. So I'm absolutely delighted now that Minister Ring has approved over £137,000 for two new ambulances and new equipment that will help them with their work. They're a voluntary organisation. They work really, really hard, and I think they're reflective and symbolic of the type of attitude that was shown throughout the peninsula in the immediate aftermath of the floods. And I just want to acknowledge the group themselves for their endeavours in that regard.
And indeed, as you say, the Red Cross was vital to the people whose homes were destroyed during the flooding, and this funding now will help them themselves.
Yeah, look, I think it's reflective of the type of communities we have in Donegal, where people lead from the front, they lead from a community approach, and the volunteers are the backbone of our county. And in the immediate aftermath of the flood, we certainly saw the need for, on the first instance, to ensure that people who were discommoded from their houses got looked after. Obviously, the Donegal County Council played a very, very critical role in that. But a lot of businesses were affected as well, and I know a lot of applications are still outstanding, and we're trying to fast track them as best we can. Farmers were affected as well, and I know there's a number of sports clubs that are waiting on news as well, and I'm glad to say that will be happening sooner rather than later as well.
A Donegal mother has spoken out after her son was the victim of a hit and run. 15-year-old Shay was hit by a car from behind on the Carnamoyle to Moff Road at around 2:45 on Sunday last, knocking him off his bike and into a ditch. Speaking earlier in the 9 till noon show, Shay's mother, Martina Hannan, says they believe it was a small black car and are appealing to the driver to come forward.
He was going to his friend's house on his bicycle. He was cycling along, and he's been hit by a car from behind, which knocked him into a ditch. And when he got up out of the ditch, the car that drove on, he'd just seen it leaving around the corner. He said it was a small black Citroen. He doesn't know whether it was a Northern Reg car or a Donegal Reg car or anything. He'd just seen black Citroen. I just think maybe if someone left in a panic and thought, oh, I got to get away, or there was any reason for no insurance or anything like that, and they've gone home and thought about it and didn't know what to do, you just think, come forward. It's not a very nice thing to do, to leave someone, especially a child, in a ditch. He feels like the bumper of the car hit the back wheel, because he didn't see it coming, he didn't hear it behind him, he was just cycling along, and he thinks, because he didn't hear it, that maybe the car was sliding on a bit of ice or something. He doesn't know.
What kind of damage was done to Shay, I suppose, in the first instance, and his bike and property?
He's hurt his hand. It's quite bruised from his wrist down through his thumb, and his knee is swollen, bruised. He hasn't broken any skin or anything. Nothing's broken or sprained. It's just more swollen and bruised. His phone was smashed in his pocket, which is not the worst thing. I know they can be replaced, but it meant that he wasn't able to contact anyone.
A reward for information has been offered after two masked men broke into the coach house in Donegal town. It is believed that at approximately 3:05 this morning, the men entered the premises, making off with a substantial amount of cash and stock. A copy of a CCTV image displaying the intruders has been circulated and can be viewed on our website at highlandradio.com. And anyone with information is asked to contact Gardaí in Donegal town. A 27-year-old man faces trial on 5 sex-linked offences, including the exploitation of a child. A book of evidence was served on the man today at Dunloe District Court. Donal Kavanagh reports.
The man, who cannot be named, is accused of exploiting a child, a girl whose age wasn't given in court, on December 29th and 30th, 2015. He faces 4 charges of exploitation and 1 of knowingly possessing pornographic images on December 30th, 2015. Prosecuting Inspector Sean Grant told the court that the Director of Public Prosecutions had consented to the accused being sent forward to the current sitting of the Higher Circuit Court at Letterkenny. Defence Solicitor Donagha Cleary was granted permission by the judge to hire a second counsel on legal aid because of the serious nature of the charges. A court order was issued barring publication of the defendant's address and the location of the alleged offences. The man was remanded to the current sitting of Letterkenny Circuit Court.
Guildhall Minister Joe McHugh says the government remains committed to the commissioning of a new ferry vessel for Tory Island, accompanied by a new breakwater at Maharorty. Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty says the Department of Culture, Heritage and the Guildhall has confirmed to him that no funding is on the table for the two projects. In September, Minister McHugh indicated that €4 million had been sanctioned for the new ferry and a further €2.5 million to provide a breakwater at Maharorty Pier. Deputy Doherty says the residents of Tory need clarification on the future of the ferry service.
There's a major issue on Tory at this point in time, and that is because the department have sanctioned a new 5-year contract with a boat that is in excess of 40 years old. The residents on Tory have signed a petition saying that they don't want to use this service. What is now required is for the minister and his officials to go back onto the island of Tory and explain to the residents of Tory what is happening with the new contract that has been signed by the department that is going to kick in the 1st of April. And they need to listen to the concerns of the islanders out there who require this service.
Responding, Minister McHugh said he and his department are working with Donegal County Council and relevant stakeholders to progress both the pier improvements and the new vessel to construction stage. With this in mind, he says a committee will be formed comprised of Tory Island residents, Donegal County Council and his department to contribute to the development of the project. The Labour leader has accused the British government of a doublespeak. It's after conflicting statements from Tory ministers over the solidity of last Friday's deal on the border. Brendan Howland says he isn't confident the British government can deliver a final Brexit agreement.
Well, the problem is that there seems to be doublespeak. There's assurances to those who want to negotiate in Brussels. And there are different sets of assurances being given to the Brexiteers. All the Brexiteers have been out over the weekend saying that nothing is agreed until everything is agreed, so therefore nothing is in place.
The latest Western Development Commission report has revealed that 68% of residents in Donegal work within the county, an increase of over 2,000 compared to figures in 2011. An analysis of figures from Census 2016 show that 6% of residents work across the border. Since 2011, there has been a decrease in the number of Donegal people in employment in Derry, while in Tyrone there are 80 more Donegal natives in employment in the region. Deirdre Frost, policy analyst with Western Development Commission, is hopeful post-Brexit cross-border relations can continue.
I would certainly hope that the relationship between across the border would stay strong and employment patterns continue. But ultimately, I suppose, what decides where people work is where the jobs are and how near they are. And while we focus in on Derry, there's plenty of people also commuting. For example, to Tyrone, there was an increase in people commuting. So there was 532 people from Donegal in 2011 working in Tyrone, that increased to 612 people. So cause and effect is very hard to judge, and essentially it's where the employment opportunities are, and indeed, as you say, how easy it is for people to go over and back to access those employment opportunities. And those Brexit negotiations will be an important part of that.
Mr. Bombay's firm FabPlus is planning to more than double its workforce and turnover with support from Invest NI as part of a £7 million investment. The investment is part of a three-year expansion plan to increase the firm's market share in the Republic of Ireland and the UK. Recruitment is currently underway to employ 83 additional staff at the business, including management roles and 70 new production staff, and will include expanding factory space. Westrone MLA Michaela Boyle has welcomed today's announcement and is hopeful employment developments in Strabane can continue.
This is a good news story for the town today and indeed for the company. Myself, along with the former MP Pat Doherty, had been involved with the company management and Invest NI to assist in progressing this project and to bring about these jobs to fruition. So it's a good news story for the town and indeed for the area, Donegal, Strabane and the North West.
And Strabane has long been hailed as an economic black spot, but these announcements show that the town is being reinvigorated.
Absolutely. This is an impetus for further investment into the Strabane area. We've had the recent job creation with Frylight. We have the new home furnishing store opening up here soon in Strabane. And we have the news of McDonald's also opening shortly. So this is good news for Strabane in terms of employment and job creativity. And long may it last. It's a good news story. And I think it's one that people should be proud of today in Strabane.
The barrister leading an investigation into the Department of Justice will be tasked with finding out why documents were not given to the Disclosures Tribunal. Emails sent to former Taoiseach Frances Fitzgerald and her advisers were only sent on following a trawl prompted by the recent political crisis. Leo Radker told the Dáil there has been a delay in the process. That means it probably won't be done by Christmas. But he hopes a barrister can be appointed to lead that investigation in the coming days.
I agree it would be appropriate for the person carrying out the investigation to determine why these emails weren't discovered and provided to the tribunal, and also to determine if there are any other emails or documents that ought to have been discovered and weren't and should now be provided to the tribunal as well.
Sport on Highland, in association with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, with Santa in store this Friday 15th from 5 to 7, together with a meet and greet with some players from the Donegal senior football team.
It's 5:15, time for the latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with boxing, and Jason Quigley's is moving his base from LA to Sheffield in England. The 26-year-old NABF middleweight champion is the latest addition to Dominic Ingall's stable, which looks after the likes of Cael Brook and Billy Joe Saunders. Jason has been based in Los Angeles since turning professional in 2014, and since then has built up a 13-0 record. Although Jason's moving back across the Atlantic, he'll still be promoted by Golden Boy Promotions and managed by Shear Sports Management. The Donegal man is itching to get back in the ring.
Of course, I had a few trainers in mind, and I had been talking to a few trainers also. You know, this was a big decision that has been going over my mind for a few months now, and it's something that I had to do because everything happens for a reason. You know, last March, I broke my hand, tore my tendon. I had to get surgery. I was out injured, but that time gave me what I got right now. That gave me the time to suss everything out, to filter all the wee cracks and flaws that was just not gelling right together in my career through the last while, you know what I mean? So moving forward now, I've had the time, I've had everything that I needed to make this decision, and Dominic Ingall ticked all the boxes. A great man to work with, a pleasure to be around. The man's, I think, 50 years of age, and he's probably in better shape than myself at the minute, you know, and them's the kind of people that you need to be around. And I just, you know, I'm so excited. The Ingall Gym is a world famous gym also. They've had the likes of Prince Nassim Hammett through there, they had the likes of Johnny Nelson, they have Cael Brook at the minute, Junior Water, Ryan Rose, Billy Joe Saunders, you know, everybody that I named just there offhand have been world champions. And you know, this is a very exciting time for me. It's a very positive time for me, and I'm just buzzing and cannot wait to get back into the ring now.
Jason Quigley there, who's moving his base from LA to Sheffield. There's more from Jason speaking to Oisín and Kelly on our website in the sports section, HighlandRadio.com, sports section there. Another boxing news, Katie Taylor and Jessica McCaskill have both comfortably made the weight ahead of tomorrow's world title bout at York Hall. Taylor will defend her WBA lightweight title barely 6 weeks after winning it from Ineas Sanchez in Cardiff. And Tyson Fury has been freed to fight again by the UK anti-doping agency. The former heavyweight champion and his cousin Huey both accepted anti-doping rule violations. Both fighters failed a 2015 drug test for a banned steroid. But the Furies have reached a compromise with UKAD with their two-year bans backdated from today. They now need just clearance from the British Boxing Board of Control before returning to the ring. Moving on to soccer, Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola insists that the way they celebrated their derby win over the rivals Manchester United was definitely not over the top. The Premier League leaders went 11 points clear with a 2-1 victory at Old Trafford. Players and staff from both sides reportedly clashed in a corridor afterwards, leaving City coach Mikel Arteta with a head wound. United manager Jose Mourinho won't directly reply to Guardiola's comments, but hinted he was unimpressed.
He says. The only thing I can say is that for me was just a question of diversity. Diversity in behaviors, diversity in education, just that, and nothing more than that.
On the pitch tonight, Chelsea look to get their season back on track when they travel to Huddersfield. That's in one of three Premier League games tonight. Burnley could move into the top four with a win at home to Stoke, and Watford, they travel to Crystal Palace. In the Scottish Premier League tonight, Hearts, they host Dundee, and Ross County play Kilmarnock. And the first of the Club World Cup semi-finals will be decided in the United Arab Emirates this evening. South American champions Grêmio, they face Central American counterparts Pachuca. Kickoff there was at 5 o'clock. Moving on to Gaelic games, and just like the Donegal footballers, the county senior hurlers are also back in training preparing for the season ahead. There's also a new manager at the helm with Mickey McCann taking over from Ardal McDermott. McCann's first target is to keep the side in Division 2B of the league while also blooding a few new faces. All of last year's squad have stayed on while the side has been boosted by the return of James A. Donnelly, who's come out of retirement. This weekend we'll see the pre-season McGurk Cup in Belfast, and Mickey says it's a good opportunity to warm up for the league.
Well, I suppose it saves you looking for friendlies, Tom, and you get a look at these young boys and get them in date on Sunday, get maybe a half each out of them and see where they're at. And we're back out again then on the 6th of January. And if you won your two games, you're into a final then on the 13th. So that sets you up perfect for the 28th then of January, starting the league, you know.
Yeah, because you're up in 2B again.
Up in 2B again, which we just can't keep a hold there at all. We go up and seem to get come down again, you know. But I think the squad has the potential to get a couple of victories in it and stay there for a couple of years. And if you want to raise the standard of hurling, I suppose you have to stay up in that division, you know, and begging there for a year or two, you know.
Mickey McCann there speaking to Tom Comack. The County Tyrone County Convention takes place this evening in Gairvahi. Damien Harvey will challenge incumbent Tyrone chairperson Roisin Jordan for the top job. And Dublin Chief Executive John Costlow has launched a scathing attack on the critics of Jim Gavin and his All-Ireland winning squad. In his annual report, Costlow has hit back at what he calls myths and inaccuracies. He rejects suggestions that the Dublin players have meals delivered to their homes and denied their treatment of being five-star or all expenses paid. In rugby, Johnny Sexton has been given the all clear for Leinster's Champions Cup clash against the Exeter Chiefs at the Aviva Stadium. The Ireland out half suffered a quad muscle injury in Sunday's win over the same opposition at Sandy Park, but was back training with the province this morning. However, Reece Ruddock is facing a lengthy spell on the sidelines. The flanker will see a specialist this week, as it's feared he suffered a severe hamstring injury. Finally, for this evening in snooker, Ciarán Doherty's out of the Scottish Open. He's been beaten in the first round 4-1 by world number 91 Craig Stedman. Earlier, Joe Swale whitewashed Lucas Kleckers 4-0. And this evening's session, world number 9 Mark Allen, he faces Ben Wollaston. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8:30 news tomorrow morning. For the moment, back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. Irish-based Ryanair pilots are to strike on December the 20th. Directly employed pilots, mostly captains, will withdraw their labour for 24 hours in a row over collective bargaining and negotiating rights. Ryanair says it's received the strike notice, which proves it's about union recognition and not pay and conditions. In a statement, it says while some disruption may occur, it believes it will be confined to a small group of pilots. Assistant General Secretary with Impact, Ashley Connolly, is urging Ryanair to engage with the Irish Airline Pilots Association to avert the strike.
Put simply, there's never a good time to go on strike. If this was January, it would be affecting people trying to return after the Christmas period. If this was June, it would be affecting people going on holidays. But this has been going on for months. We have been trying to engage with Ryanair management now for months. In order to avoid the 20th, management just simply need to engage.
And for weather now, showers in the west will spread to many areas this evening, staying cold with moderate to fresh winds becoming west to northwest. And lowest temperatures tonight of 1 to 3 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the government has announced €137,000 in funding to the Red Cross in Donegal to replace ambulances lost during flash flooding that hit the peninsula in August. The Red Cross headquarters in Moff were badly damaged with the loss of equipment and vehicles. A reward for information has been offered after two masked men broke into the coach house in Donegal town. It's believed that at approximately 3:05 this morning, the men entered the premises, making off with a substantial amount of cash and stock. Strabane-based firm FabPlus is planning to more than double its workforce and turnover with support from InvestNI as part of a £7 million investment. The investment is part of a three-year expansion plan to increase the firm's market share in the Republic of Ireland and the UK. And the latest Western Development Commission report has revealed that 68% of residents in Donegal work within the county, an increase of over 2,000 compared to figures in 2011. An analysis of figures from Census 2016 show that 6% of residents work across the border. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website at highlandradio.com. And we'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Tuesday evening, December the 12th. The sudden death has occurred of Eugene McHugh, 5 Brook Park, Castlederg. Eugene's remains are reposing at Lynch's funeral home, Castlederg, until 7 o'clock this evening. Removal from the funeral home tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock to St Patrick's Church, Castlederg, to repose overnight. Requiem Mass on Thursday morning at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The death has taken place at Lake House Nursing Home Dunfanaghy of Noel Cullen Terman. Noel's remains will be waked at Lake House Nursing Home from 6 o'clock this evening until 10 p.m. Removal from there tomorrow, leaving at 6:30 to arrive at St. Columbus Church Terman for 7 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Thursday at 12 noon, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place at Arshview Lodge Nursing Home Letterkenny of Brian Devine, Kilfeek, New Mills, Glenswilly. Remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral Mass in St. Columbus Church, Glenswilly at 12 noon on Thursday, followed by burial in Kilfeek Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations to the Arshview Lodge Patients Comfort Fund, care of Charlie McLafferty, Funeral Director, Churchill and Letterkenny. The death has occurred at Letterkenny University Hospital of Angela Ames, Hillcrest House, Long Lane, Letterkenny. Angela's remains are being waked at Hillcrest House, Long Lane, Letterkenny until 8 o'clock tonight and tomorrow. Service of Thanksgiving, to which all are welcome, on Thursday afternoon at 1 o'clock in Hillcrest House, followed by cremation in Lakeland's Crematorium, Cavan. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to Hillcrest House Residence Comfort Fund, care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director, Stony Arch, New Line Road, Letterkenny. The death has taken place in the Foyle Hospice of Gerard O'Neill, 82 Main Street, Clonay, County Derry. His remains are reposing at his late residence, with removal on Thursday morning for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Clonay, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, donations in lieu to the Foyle Hospice if desired. House private from 11pm to 11am. The death has taken place at Letterkenny University Hospital off Catherine Gallagher, Rock Hill, Dunfanaghy. Remains are reposing overnight at Holy Cross Church, Dunfanaghy. Funeral mass tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery, Creeslaw. House private at the request of the deceased. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Harkin Funeral Directors, Creeslaw. The death has taken place in his 100th year of Leo McGinley, Ballysheedy, County Limerick and formerly of Kilcar, County Donegal. Remains are reposing at his home in Ballysheedy until 8 o'clock. Removal tomorrow to St Patrick's Church, Dunamore, to arrive for 12 noon Requiem Mass, followed by burial in Dunamore Cemetery. And the death has taken place at her home of Maggie Harden, Maggie Johnny, Middle Door, Bombeg. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Rosary tonight at 9 o'clock. Funeral mass in St Mary's Church, Derrybeg, tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. House private from after the rosary until 10 o'clock. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to Donegal Cancer Flights, care of any family member or Kieran Rorty, Funeral Director.